Don't ever try to lead somebody to Christ by asking them to do you a favor. So they ask, they say, will you do me a favor? And so Elon says, yeah, well, what's that? And they said, would you accept Christ into your, would you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And so Elon kind of, he mumbles around, and I can't recall exactly what he says, but hopefully we'll be able to see it here in a second. All right, okay, good.
Actually, have a good answer. You know, so I said, I read all the religious texts, and I read a bunch of philosophy books, and it was quite depressing. If you don't really know what the meaning of life is,
trying to figure out the meaning of life, and, well, like, what does it all mean? I was trying to figure out what's the meaning of life, and there didn't seem to be any good answer.
It's just very curious about the world and what had to come be here, what's the meaning of life and all that. And I always had a really intense desire to understand things and learn. I had sort of an existential crisis when I guess when I was 11 or 12 or something, trying to figure out what it's all about. And I'll make the occasional conclusion that we don't really know the answer, but if we increase the scope and scale of civilization, then we have a much better chance of understanding the meaning of life and why we're here, or even what other right questions to ask.
Do you believe in God?
I believe.
Did you say, are you right with God?
You said, are you believing God?
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can just go off what.
Just in what we saw right there,
yeah.
Who sees a guy is one of the answers. He's asking questions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you can sense there's a pain there.
Yeah. Because he's been searching for a while.
Yeah. You know, that's where we need to be sensitive to these things.
Yeah.
And discerning. You know, listen to what people are actually telling you, not just the words they're saying, but what are they really telling you? This guy's telling me that he's looking for something.
I'm trained. I'm ready. Any firefighter who shows up in fire untrained shouldn't be called a firefighter. And the Bible says, stay here to show yourself approved. Be ashamed. If you don't know what to say to the ungodly, it's obvious you've never studied it. Everything you wanted to achieve in life, you studied. You studied how to ride a bike as a kid, how to drive a car. You studied the things that you wanted to do. And of all the things you should want to do, it's the will of God to seek and to save that which is lost. So be ready. The Bible says, always be ready to give an answer to those who ask of you the hope that's within you. And so I've studied. I've studied what Jesus did. I've studied the scriptures. I've read the learned men of God that have gone before me. So when I meet an unsaved person, I get to know them. I say, you think there's an afterlife? And I learn to take him through the commandments to bring the knowledge of sin. Because there's no point in preaching the cross if someone doesn't realize they're a sinner. And we open up the commandments as Jesus did to bring the knowledge of sin so they'll see their need of a Savior. So they see their danger. Preach Judgment Day. Talk about the reality of hell unashamedly. Tell them that God is...
I'm not sure if it skipped over that or not. I think
that's
it may have.
It doesn't look like it just by the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like when I did this on my own in your
Christ and crucified. Most incredible words this world could ever hope to hear. And then we tell them that Jesus destroyed death through the resurrection. We're talking about somebody's eternal salvation, so make sure you avoid the methods of modern evangelism. I'm talking about the unbiblical traditions of asking Jesus into your heart. Asking someone if they want to accept Christ or to pray a sinner's prayer with them. These modern traditions have filled the church with false converts, and they've filled America with what we call bitter backsliders. There's no greater disservice that we can do to another human being than to lead them in a false profession of faith. It's to give them a parachute filled with holes and then pat them on the back as they're waiting to jump. I know because I once did that.
Wow.
If you'd like to see the tragic statistics of what this done, please take time to read this ebook. Evangelist Bill Faye said, while reading this book, my heart went into atrial fibrillation. It's that good. There's nothing like it. It's truly from God. Todd Friel of Wretched Radio, Wretched TV said.
I know I did.
That's Ray Comfort, for those that you aren't familiar with him, and he actually does a lot of these videos. He goes out and street evangelizes and talks.
To see the part where
I was hoping to, yeah.
Okay. Well, let me do something real quick.
Okay.
Jump off there and then try to get it queued up right, and then we'll just do it there.
Okay. So Ray Comfort, you can very easy to find. Just Google or just go to YouTube and punch in Ray Comfort. He goes out and on the spot with cameras present and just cold calls and witnesses to people, and it's raw and it's real.
All right, final question.
Here it is.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we're here. And
that's it, man.
Yes, that's it.
And our ministry, we're wondering if you can do us a quick solid and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Personal Lord and Savior. It's a big prayer.
I mean, this is saying, like, I agree with the principles that Jesus advocated. And that the, you know, there's there's great wisdom in the teachings of Jesus, and I agree with those teachings. And things like turn the other cheek are very important, because as opposed to an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. So forgiveness, you know, it's important, and treating people as you would wish to be treated, love thy neighbor as thyself, very important.
So it's like a 60-70% yes?
As Einstein would say, I believe in the God of Spinoza. But hey, if Jesus is saving people, I mean, I would stand in his way. That'll be true. I'll be faithful.
We did it.
Yeah.
I think you just said yes.
We got it.
Now watch this. What's your thoughts on the art?
Who thinks Elon Musk got saved?
Our ministry. We're wondering if you can do us a quick solid.
That
and accept
is apostasy.
Yes.
Quick solid.
Quick solid.
That's wicked.
Yeah.
They just probably pushed that man closer to hell.
Right.
A disservice to the gospel. Don't ever lead anybody to Christ like that. That's horrible.
What an opportunity.
And what a missed opportunity. Yeah. Yes, sister.
One thing he said that was not really right is that God would get in his way while he should be involved, and God's up here and he's not up here with him. We just are letting God do stuff.
But he doesn't understand that.
Yeah, I know. That's where.
And those men should be prepared
to counter that.
They should be prepared to share the truth with
right.
this man. To take him through recognizing that he's a sinner before a holy God. See, the problem is here is I don't think anybody sitting in that room understands who God is.
Well, they didn't even ask if God, they could do God a solid. They wanted him to do them a solid.
Yeah, I mean, this is the state of Christianity today. This is what you find in most churches, and even in a lot of Baptist churches. Yeah, brother.
Well, if you listen very carefully to what he's saying, Elon Musk is above everything else, because I've seen this video before and I've seen a lot of his other ones. Mm-hmm. He is above everything else a pragmatist.
Yeah.
He believes in what works, what he can prove to himself.
Yeah.
Twice in that interview he said, I think that's good. I agree with. Now, we always say, I think most people should know this, that a principle of good parenting is obedience should be immediate and complete, for it's not obedience, right?
Right.
That's what we believe about our kids. When a child decides to obey the parent because they agree with it or they see the wisdom in it, that's not obedience at all. They're just doing what they decided was right.
Right.
And when he decides that he believes that that's good, what Jesus is doing is good and all that, and he says twice, he said, I agree with that, or I agree with him. What he's doing is he's simply believing in what he thinks and what he agreed to believe in.
Right.
He's not trusting in a savior. He's not believing in Jesus. He's just saying, I agree with him, so I guess we're in the same boat on the fact that we both believe the same thing.
Now, how differently do you think that would have went if, say, Brother John was sitting there and was able to point those things out?
A lot different.
I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it wouldn't have went different at all. But those men were not prepared to share the gospel. I don't even think they know the gospel. And that's just a reflection. Like he made the analogy, you know, anyone, you know, a firefighter trains. He trains. It's funny. I went on a fire call last night. They had a fire in Indianapolis. We had to go kill the power for the fire department so they could fight the fire. And it was funny. It just really caused my mind to run on what he had said. But, you know, if you haven't trained to be a firefighter, put out fire, running on a burning building when it's on fire, you can't call yourself a firefighter. Well, if you haven't trained yourself, if you haven't studied, if you're prepared to give an answer to every man for the hope that lies within you, you can't call yourself a soul winner. That's pretty convicting. Do we get asked questions oftentimes and caught off guard at things that we aren't prepared to answer? Sure. But what do we? How do we respond to that? Do we run and hide?
No.
We dig. We study. We prepare. You know, it's like anything else in life. When you run into a challenge and you don't have the answer, well, if you ignore the problem, it's not going anywhere. You have to prepare. So, so one of the videos was just not cooperating this morning. I kind of wanted to see some of. He goes on to a video of him witnessing to a woman, I thought there was a lot of good things there to see. I thought some of the most interesting things was her reactions to things that he said.
Ray Comfort is actually how I had gotten saved.
Yeah.
Watching his videos, and then me and Luke would witness all the time in New York, and I just started noticing that every single way people would tell. I mean, growing up, after I started going to church, it was all watered down until we would go with this huge group, like four or five different churches. And when me and Luke went, we started doing it the way Ray Comfort was, and that's when we started seeing really people changing. Before, it was all watered down just like this.
His whole method is called Way of the Master. There's a book out there about this whole thing. I'm not sure. You guys, a lot of you are probably familiar with Kirk Cameron, the actor. I'm not sure if he's still associated with that or not, but I know he was.
I was just going to say, I think it's important to try to know as much as you can about a person. Mm-hmm. And I've watched quite a few videos about Elon Musk, and he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in creation. Right. He doesn't believe, he believes in evolution. And he is so far off the wall as far as what the Bible teaches that it's really kind of tragic. He's a genius when it comes to business and things like that, but he's totally off the wall. And so to get somebody to say, well, would you do us a favor? Could you just say this? Could you agree with this?
Manipulation.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
When you really understand what's going on, because he's still an atheist.
Well, you know, and the thing is, what those statements, you know, to be, I'm an atheist and don't believe in God, this, that, and the other, I don't believe that. Because when I listen to the guy talk,
right,
he's searching for something. He doesn't even realize it. I don't think. But I don't think he really, he believes he's an atheist because he doesn't know what else to believe.
Exactly.
Because nobody showed him. Because nobody has sat down and took the gospel and shown him. You know, I sat in church for years and heard the gospel. I knew it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it. God has to bring us to that place where we're ready to hear, for our eyes to be open. When that moment happens, you hang on the edge of hell. Because you could reject. Knowingly rejecting, that's a scary, scary proposition. Yeah. Was you going to say something, Mark?
I was just going to say, it seems like Elon Musk is kind of going through a progression to where, yeah, initially totally rejecting God, but he is asking questions. And just the way he's posing those, I mean, it stands to reason. I mean, he's now into space travel, all that. And it's those things that declare the glory of God. And as smart as he is, he has to be putting two and two together to say, there's no way that this fine-tuned clock of creation is just random happenstance. There's no way. And so I think that's probably where he's at.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's willing to put any god on his shelf. Mm-hmm. Now he doesn't want to serve those gods.
Right.
He just wants his ticket punched from as many quote-unquote deities as possible, so that his chances are better for him. It's still all about him. Yeah. But it is interesting to see the progression. It's too bad that, I mean, maybe at some point he will sit before somebody that can actually articulate the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But
you know, and just you saying that really illuminates. Salvation, a person has to understand that they have offended God.
Right. They could have went through a whole litany of things in reference to his sin.
Right.
They never addressed his sin one time. That's the issue.
Yeah. And a godly sorrow leadeth thee to repentance. Until a person comes to the point where they recognize that they have transgressed Almighty God. They have trampled the law underfoot. They have offended the Holy of Holy. And they take responsibility for that. You know, there's a recognition of, yeah, I deserve hell. And a willingness, you know what? A willingness, even if that was the only option, I'm worthy of it. Mm-hmm. But praise God, there's an alternative. Yeah, brother.
Well, when I talk to people, I keep thinking of Romans 1:20, where it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Mm-hmm. And then it goes on.
Yeah.
Two things God has put in the heart of every man.
Yeah.
To know his eternal power and his Godhead.
Right.
So I'm pretty simple, but it seems to me that before you mess with people, if they were left to their own, that's why a lot of the natives, missionaries have said, they've gone out and talked to natives, basically, they believed the Ten Commandments, but they didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
God's put it in their heart.
Right.
And so before you start messing with people, they know that, and they're searching to find out more. Mm-hmm. And Elon Musk even says when he was little, he had an existential crisis, he calls it.
Right.
He had a rough childhood. Right. And so he was searching, and he read all kinds of things. Unfortunately, a lot of things he read were the philosophies of the world.
Yeah.
But I think everybody searches and they can't bury it. That way you can go out here and talk to atheists, you can talk to agnostics or people who claim to be. I think there's only two kinds of people in the world, believers and liars. But you can talk to those people, and deep down inside you know there's still that question. They can never be absolutely certain that there's not a God, or that they don't know if there's a God, because God put it in their heart.
I was contemplating on just the word believer this week. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of meditating. What exactly does that mean to be a believer? And I looked up the word, and it led me to look up other words and looking at some scripture and just really trying, because, you know, Pastor and I had just a brief conversation just in the whole nature of salvation. You know, we get saved and then we're being saved every day. And it's a continual process, and we call it sanctification. But once I am made aware of the truth, I can't unsee what I have seen.
Right.
Once it has entered into my heart, I can't unaccept it. It is forever changing me. Once you review, once that moment comes, you sit down with Elon Musk and you share, and it registers. This is the truth. And it will.
Yeah.
That's the moment of acceptance or rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that moment of acceptance, like Pastor was talking about, that moment of salvation. It's that moment of acceptance. When you reconcile to that, you accept that in your heart as truth. That's salvation. And obviously, we know that, you know, with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believeth unto salvation. But that moment of accepting that truth, that God has now illuminated your heart to these truths. And the Holy Spirit, you know, obviously has to do that. But that whole idea of belief, because there's been times I've gone cold on God, and I'm sure others in this room, we've had our moments. And you wonder, could I just stop? Could I just decide that I'm not saved? I reject this. No, you can't, because once you can't unsee what you've seen. Right?
You can try to run.
Yeah, it's not going to work out very well. It's done that.
It's like you're saying, can I hide from God? Well, once you know that he exists everywhere, you can't hide from him. There's no way.
Well, I was listening to Genesis on the way this morning when Adam in the garden after they had sinned and they hid from God. How you going to hide from God? Really? I hid myself because I was naked. I was ashamed. And it's, we play this game, but we're getting off on a tangent. I don't know how I really went there, but.
I'll bring it back.
Thank you.
When I work with people on salvation, the first two things, before I even go into the gospel, the first two things I want to know about them is, number one, do they believe in God?
Yeah.
And I know the devil believe in trouble, but I want to know, do they at least believe in the existence of one God?
Yeah.
Not many, one God, right? And if they do, well, they didn't come up with that on their own.
Right.
So I know the Lord's working. And then number two, do they believe the Bible is God's word? Because if they don't, I'm wasting my time.
Right.
So, because if you just keep, and I know faith comes by hearing by the word of God, but I'm looking to see, has God done anything in their life yet, right?
Prepared
so
to
those
feel.
Two things. Now, I may not stop witnessing to them if they don't believe, but I'm going to deal with those scriptures that testify that there is only one God,
yeah,
and that the word of God, the Bible, is his word. And it's 100% accurate and perfect. So that's where I'm going to stay on those two points before I can go on. And really, even it's worthless to try to convince somebody they're a sinner if they don't believe there's a God to sin against, and they don't believe that the word of God is the word of God. So that's why I deal with those two things. I'm looking at the Babylon Bee thing, and they totally bypassed both those.
Yeah.
They didn't explore either of those, and now everything's up in the air. It's no different than Reader's Digest now in reference to what we believe. And so that's why I think those two things are vital before you go in and start telling them the scripture in reference to their condition before God.
Well, and Elon there, he doesn't see Jesus as anybody special.
No.
Certainly not God in the flesh.
Right.
You know, if he's in the business of saving people, then who am I to stand as well? And they didn't do anything to help that at all.
No.
You know, they handed him out like you know, Halloween candy. You know, how it's just, man, when I first saw that, when I first saw the title of the video, Is Elon Musk a Christian? I seen it was Ray Comfort. I was like, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
And then I saw that, and it grieved me.
Yeah.
It grieved me. And I've had people lead me to the Lord like that when I was young.
Yeah.
Others in this room, I'm sure, have done the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me.
That wasn't even that.
No, that was.
And maybe you're a sinner, believe on Christ, confess. That none of that was there.
No, that was probably the most watered down. Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible.
Well, also, while I'm witnessing, or whatever you want to call it, you know, trying to talk to people about the Lord, and my family and friends, or people I don't know, but. A lot of times I come across, I'm good with God, you know, and there's still, like, someone in our family, you know, I try to talk to her, and she says, I'm good with God, you know, we're good, or whatever, and, but they're still doing everything that is ungodly, and you can't convince them that, you know, how can you say you're saved, and you're doing all these things, you know, so what do you do about that? It's the same thing with that.
Well, and that's what one of the things that Ray Comfort really does is he takes the Ten Commandments. So you say you're good. Okay, well, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever told a lie? Well, what does that say you are?
What? A sinner.
Well, no, what is a person who tells lies?
Liar.
A liar. Well, the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Have you ever stolen anything?
Probably a little.
Well, what do we call people who steal things?
Right.
But you know, you just take people and you show them according to what God says, the standard, you're not good. The Bible says there are none good, no, not one. It's just a logical working through the truth. It's just the truth. And so the Bible says, now, so do you believe the Bible? Like Pastor said, do you believe this is the Word of God? If they don't,
they'll say yes.
Okay, well, if you believe this is the Word of God, then have you ever looked on a woman to lust after her? Jesus said, if a man look on a woman to lust after her in his heart, he's laid with her already.
Already
adulterous. Yeah, you're already an adulterer. So you're a lying, thieving, adulterous. Well, what do you think that makes you? Not good. You know, I would encourage you to, there is a logical approach to these things. And that's one of the things I do like about Ray Comfort, is that he does approach everybody. He has a system. And I do believe, and Pastor and I have talked about it, actually we're going to meet this week and kind of talk about that a little more. I believe that we need to put together something that gives us somewhere to refer, a starting point, or even wherever you're at with somebody that you can reference. And deal with that topic, just like that. You know, I'm good. You know, some of these things that we hear all the time, you know, and it's good to know how to approach that, how to discern, okay, this is where I start. They're saying they're good. Well, the Bible says there's none good. So how do we determine if someone's good or not? They're righteous. That's what they're saying. I'm righteous. Well, no, you're not righteous. So you need to understand, what is righteousness? What's unrighteousness? Well, if you're on this side of the Ten Commandments, you're righteous. Or if you're on this side of grace, you're righteous. You see what I'm saying? And it's just a logical understanding and then knowing how to address that problem. How to address that person based on what they're saying, where they're at. You're gonna, basically, all you're doing is they're saying, I'm in Kentucky. And you're saying, no, come look at the sign. You're in Ohio. You're not in Kentucky. You need to understand where you're at. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
I was going to say, also with witnessing people like that, and I believe I know who it is, that I'm dealing with too, and when she says, I'm good with God, she's actually rejecting God right there. You know, I don't want to talk about it. We're good. We're good.
That's right.
And, there comes a time when you can only do so much of pushing God on someone you know, and witnessing to them that you have to stop and just let God work and pray to them and let them see their need, that they need the Lord. And you can say and say and say with those kind of people, but they need to see it.
I'm a living testimony of that. I was pushed, hounded. And the more they, my mom and dad, the more they did, the worse it got. When they left, when they finally gave me over to God, it didn't take long. It didn't take long at all. Brother.
It's hard to fully endorse anybody. Like, even like preaching to Zoom and stuff like that, they're not strong in King James, whatever. But I would say, like, the Great Comfort's stuff and the way his method and stuff like that is Bible based and how Jesus witnessed to people, basically. And it's really good. I think loop it through like a lot of Great Comfort, the way the Master stuff is more. And it's really good because it's almost like a mental checklist. Like, one, like Master said, do they even believe the Bible? It's like that kind of, he asks a few like questions to kind of know where to start. You know, if they don't believe the Bible is God's word or doesn't believe in God, he starts off with kind of basic facts about, life, and just kind of gets them thinking, like, okay, like just basic facts about the universe, and he doesn't get into the weeds of like evolution or something like that. It's just very basic questions. Like, if you can't answer this question, what you believe has to be wrong. Forget about all the details and this and that. It's like, if you can't answer like this question, then then it kind of proceeds through there. So the way the Master stuff is really good, and it's just a very clear, kind of easy to follow, like, this thing, without making it like robotic either. It's something that every person responds to, because a lot of people in America, at least, are like, I believe in God, and yeah, Ten Commandments, and that's as far as they think about it. They don't put themselves as they're the center, and I think that's where a lot of the methodology does really kind of tips it to the point where it's like, it's not just Jesus died to save sinners. I believe that. It's like, oh, I'm the sinner. I need to make a decision now.
Yeah. Well, and one very, very important thing, just thinking about what you guys had said, don't forget to pray. Mm-hmm. That's very, once you've dealt with someone and those walls are going up, it's not time for you to try to beat your way through that wall. It's time to pray. Just step back and pray. Allow God to go to work. And I'm telling you, it's an interesting process when you see that happen. I just saw it happen with my son. It's an interesting process. Brother, we got to, real quick, and we got to go.
I was just going to say, years ago when I learned soul winning plans in Bible college and all that, it was always, here's what you say, tell them this. Over the years, I've realized that and this is what Ray Comfort does so well, and what Kyle just alluded to, that people have thought about something up to a point, and then they don't think about it anymore. And the most effective people I know in witnessing to people, it's not if they get them saved right on the spot that day, because today is such a messed up day. We're dealing with things that, a lot of people never had to deal with years ago, but the most effective people are those that ask questions. They challenge the people, get them to think, because you can tell a man something all day long, but if you tell him, number one, a lot of people, they resist it because they didn't think of it and it didn't occur to them. And whenever you ask people questions that provoke them to think and cause them to challenge what they just said or they think they believe, I think that's a lot more effective. And that's why Ray Comfort does such a good job of doing that, because he takes the law, and that's the purpose of the law, to bring us under conviction and tell us that we're wrong before God. And so he takes the law and he does that and shows them that, and then they realize, I got a severe issue. Now where do I go? Now what do I do to fix it? And for, like it's been said quite a few times here this morning, for years we've been taught, put the Band-Aid on before we even know what's under it.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Rob, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about these things, God, and to see the different methods that different people use, God. God, we just really want to be using the correct method that you want us to use, God. We just pray that you would help us to be scriptural in the things that we do, God. We pray you would give us continue to give us opportunities, God. We just pray that we would be found doing the job you want us to be doing. Come soon.